This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we're back for another week of hot baseball talk. And I do mean hot.
Because of the temperature?
The temperature, and also because of the sensuality
in
our voices.
We are also, we're recording this episode in a special location inside a sauna.
Yeah, so it's hot in a number of ways.
It's dry heat.
In the sauna?
Yeah, you're right, it is dry. Dry heat. Steam rooms are wet heat.
You're right. I should have just known that from what I feel around me right now.
Steam rooms are one of my favorite things of all time.
Yeah, and saunas.
Saunas, I don't care about the dry heat.
Ambivalent. Well, we get enough dry heat.
Yeah.
We had a baseball practice on Sunday, and
for like an hour.
Actually, it was kind of buggy, but it was very hot.
We had baseball practice from like 10 to 11:15, basically.
Yeah.
And I played basketball at 2, and I was still so tired. I was like, still like, oh God, I have to play basketball.
Yeah. Not to give too intimate or graphic an image, but I came home and I spent like an hour just like naked by the air conditioner, even before hopped in the shower. Well, you know, I don't know. You can imagine it with black bars and.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll do that over your nipples.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'll do that.
Welcome to the show. We have a good one. We're going to be ranking the playoff races from least to most interesting
all
in just a second.
All
8 races. And then we are in the second half of the show, we're going to be picking our favorite and least favorite Detroit Tigers of all time in celebration of the thrilling matchup we're watching in the background right now of the Tigers versus the White Sox. I believe both teams are on a 100 loss pace.
The Tigers are?
Tigers might be like 98 or something, but they're pretty bad.
Whoa.
If they're not on a 100 loss pace, it's only because they've played the Royals and the White Sox so much.
I mean, I think, yeah.
But before we get into that, let's give our weekly shout out to Boardwalk Audio for hosting the show. Very much appreciate them. Also, our weekly shout out to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for distributing the show. Appreciate those guys very much. Go check out their baseball writing as we sort of ramp up into the playoff race. Only 6 weeks remaining.
It?
Yeah.
I just looked there. As we record, they are on a 95 loss.
95 loss.
And it is entirely because they get to play the White Sox.
Yeah.
Only 6 weeks left. We're not going to talk about it today, but I think it's worth mentioning because I think it's weird. I have no idea who's going to win the NL MVP, and I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
I don't remember a season where it's been this late where you can't say it's going to be one of these three people. And of course, people have been wrong because someone like, could catch fire,
yeah.
But
well, let's talk about it real quick.
We can talk about it. This is off the cuff, baby.
This is an audible part of it.
This
wasn't, you know, I don't want to call it an audible because that's a football term. So this is like the batter. I'm thinking the batter like laying down a bunt without
getting the sign,
or actually ignoring the bunt sign and swinging through and hitting a home run.
So those are both Javi Baez things. How's that for a transition to NL MVP?
I don't think it's much of one because I don't think he's going to win the MVP.
He's in the discussion.
I'm just giving you shit. I know he's your favorite baseball player.
But
so.
He's also, I'm not being unreasonable here. He's got to be in the discussion.
Yeah, sure. I think that's fair. So, okay. So I think that Freddie Freeman was maybe the presumptive favorite much of the season.
But he's cooled off a little.
He has cooled off, but he does have the Braves making the, you know, being in the playoffs discussion, at least surprisingly,
yes,
in his favor, which is a good sort of narrative thing. He's still third in the NL in wins above replacement.
Do you know who is second in the NL is Matt Carpenter? And he has been very hot lately.
Yeah. Are you looking at Baseball Reference? I'm looking at Fangraphs.
Oh,
so,
okay. Carpenter for B-War is second.
He's actually first in F-War. But
he's first in offensive war.
Is Nolan Arenado first? That's who's second.
Arenado's second for offensive war.
Okay.
And he is fifth overall. I think that...
Actually, if we're talking... That's position players.
Yeah.
Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer have more wins above replacement than either of them.
Scherzer could win MVP, I guess. He's been pitching really well.
Well, I think it... If the Nats make a run for the division, I think... and he goes on sort of a hot streak. I mean, he doesn't even need like a streak necessarily that's hotter than he's been on. He has a 2.19 ERA. But especially if he like, if they go on a run and he has like a 1.5 ERA over
like
the next
Arrieta,
6 weeks.
Arrieta had
right,
that run.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he was like kind of the whole second half, but he really ramped it up and he had a no-hitter in there. Because St. Louis has played their way back into the playoff race a little bit. So that's another, I think if St. Louis ends up wild card or something and Carpenter continues, he's now a front runner.
We have Lorenzo Cain and Javier Baez pretty close to the top of the war leaderboards.
Cain is number one position player for Baseball Reference.
Oh, interesting.
But
he's number four.
It's because he's also number two. He's worth 2.1 defensive wins.
Yeah.
He's
a great defensive player, but that's, not going to get a ton of votes that way. Probably.
I don't think there's no narrative around him, I don't feel like. I love Lorenzo Cain, and forget, he finished third in the MVP voting in 2015.
Oh, I didn't remember that. I did forget, so thank you.
I think it's probably Carpenter, Freeman, Baez, or Arenado.
I mean, if the Brewers win the division, Lorenzo Cain to me seems like a Jimmy Rollins type candidate, you know, where he sort of is like the... not the best maybe on his team at anything necessarily offensively, but sort of the all around kind of, I mean, I guess I think Rollins hit 30 home runs that year. So he was,
a little more, some pop.
So,
having like a outlier. Trevor Story is eighth in position player war. Is that defensive?
No, I mean, he's having a big,
okay.
I wouldn't. I'd be. I guess Arenado would be a stronger candidate.
Be. Yeah, it would definitely be Arenado. I think those five, and then Scherzer. That's just so many, and I'm not confident. Anyway,
you know what's crazy?
Yeah,
the Dodgers do not have a top 20 player in wins above replacement position players in the National League.
Do you think Nick Markakis has a shot
at MVP? Hell no.
I don't think
kidding?
He is either. He's
that would be ridiculous.
He's,
I mean, he's having a very good year.
Tied for ninth overall.
I guess stranger things have happened. There are tons of like, I mean, Hawk Harrelson won the MVP award in like his only good season in the majors. So that does happen. But
wait, Hawk Harrelson?
Yeah.
Won an MVP?
Yeah, for the Red Sox in like 1968 or something like that.
Whoa.
It was his only season with the Red Sox, I believe, or maybe he had another half season. Definitely his first season with the Red Sox. But yeah, he won the MVP. It was like his best year by far.
I mean,
I'm trying to
think. Oh, because his name is Ken, and I did not know that. He didn't win an MVP. He finished third in the voting in 1968.
Oh, he was third? I thought
Sox.
He was MVP. All right, shows what I know. I guess I just have an inflated sense of Hawk.
He lost to... Oh, because that's the year Denny McClain won 30 games.
Yeah.
And then he won. And then Bill Freehand for the Tigers finished second.
Well...
A history lesson. And Willie Horton finished fourth. The Tigers were good that year.
Yeah. If only we were segueing into our Tigers all-time.
I don't know. I don't know who's going to win. That's what I'm saying.
If you had to put money on it, who would you... Pick.
Right now, if I had to put money on it, I think I would put money on Matt Carpenter.
I think I'd choose Scherzer.
That's who would be my second. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And those are two teams that probably won't... The odds are saying that they won't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Do you think... Quick AL talk. Do you think Jose Ramirez has it locked up? Well, no, I guess he or Betts with Trout hurt.
Betts is probably in the lead because he plays for Boston. Mm.
That's a good point. But if Jose, like if Ramirez has a 40-40 season.
Yeah, but I think he also might split votes with Lindor.
Maybe.
Because I think that Jose Ramirez might suffer for being not the most famous player on his team. And when you're not the most famous player on your team and the most famous player is having an almost MVP level season.
Yeah.
In an unfair way, hurts you.
Yeah,
and because
yeah.
Mookie Betts is such
you're
the,
probably right.
the face
it's,
of the
it's
Red
probably
Sox.
Betts. Yeah. He's having a crazy year.
He's been injured, but like is still up there with everyone. I think Trout's injury probably is knocking him out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. I think it's Betts. But I think Jose Ramirez will be in the top three, and I think it might be close.
Well, let's...
He'll probably be second.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, at least for right now, you know, unless... one of them slows down or heats up or something like that.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to see how the playoff races impacts that. And I think potentially neither of them will get that narrative boost because both of their teams are so far ahead.
But the Bets could get a narrative booth or booth, a narrative
booth,
a booth,
if
a
they,
booth
if
in
they,
the convention.
Win 110 games
if
or
they,
something.
If they're going for the right. If it's September 6th and they're still on pace for 114, 115.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially if Betts hits like a walk-off home run to get it, you know, like, which he probably
will. I mean, he did
will.
Just hit for the cycle as well.
The first cycle of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the cycle? Do you care about the cycle?
Yeah, I think they're fun. Jose Abreu last year hit for the cycle. That was like the first White Sox cycle in 15 years or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is definitely
fun. You get a cycle alert on your phone, do you tune in if you can?
No. Well, I mean, you know, if they're up to bat, I'll like pull it up on my phone. But I'm not going to like watch a whole, you know, Brewers Reds game because Eugenio Suarez is, you know, a triple away or whatever.
What if you're say so you can't you're not doing anything, so it's easy to turn on a game. What makes you turn on a game or turn to a game if from an alert?
I think like I'll turn on the no hitter alerts a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Not usually
seventh inning, usually.
If it eighth for me, I think.
I'm a seventh inning
And then, you know, I'm who's to say? Maybe I would turn on a cycle alert if I like had nothing else going. But
I think it kind of depends who it was. If Lorenzo Cain was about to hit for the cycle, I'd be like, oh, I want to watch this.
Yeah.
Or a Cub. Well, obviously a Cub or a Royal, but.
But it's also like, I feel like I'm usually already watching the White Sox. So it's like, it would usually have to be, there's not a White Sox game on.
You wouldn't, so if the White Sox are getting beat 7-1 by the Indians.
Know.
Like
yeah,
maybe.
I just also, I've like, maybe part of it is I've sort of tuned out a lot of the MLB notifications on my phone.
It's so
like
hard to
I get so many and
those.
They're so some of them are so dumb that like I just don't even
so
I just don't
bad.
Even look at them, you know. I have my phone on silent or something and then I see like, oh, I've got six notifications from MLB. I'm just not going to read any of them.
I have a sports app called The Score, which I actually really like. And it took me a while for like my other stuff.
You hear that, The Score? You want to sponsor the Ducks North Baseball Podcast?
I really
podcast.
Like it. And I've cycled through a lot and they've had problems.
Yeah.
The Score has been great. And they give me notifications and they give a lot of kind of dumb ones too. But, I think they have to, but I get my overall.
Those are our sponsors you're talking about.
Overall sports news from them.
Yeah.
But if I get one from The Score and MLB, that's what I know.
Something's going down.
I need to go down.
All right.
I think other than.
I will check out that app.
Other than the perfect game and. Or like a no hitter, a 20 strikeout pace. I am instantly there.
For
I don't
sure.
care who it is. I would love to see someone get like when Scherzer did it.
Yeah.
I was all over it, and like the nine other times he's been close. But like,
yeah.
that's like I think the big one. Four home runs, I'll probably tune in if it's someone who I feel like has a legit shot.
Yeah,
I do
four home runs.
Yeah.
I just did that with who just Pierce. On the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I watched his last at bat. Yeah. I will say the no hitters, I'm much more likely to tune in if it's a very good pitcher like a Scherzer or a DeGrom, or if it's a rookie. If it's like Jordan Zimmermann or something, I'm like, I don't care if Jordan Zimmermann pitches a no hitter, you know, just to pull.
It's cool to see no hitters though.
Yeah, it's cool and it is exciting to see them, you know, celebrate or whatever. But like
I get it.
You know, if I got something else going on, I'm not going to like go out of my way to be, or if I'm watching like a TV show or something, I'm not going to be like, oh, I have to like,
oh yeah,
turn this
oh
off.
Yeah. If I'm like in the middle of watching like Last Week Tonight, I'm not going to turn it off to see Jordan Zimmerman.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would turn it off to see Max Scherzer get 20 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. Anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think perfect games are more likely as well too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else really, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't that many things where it's, like, building up. Like, maybe, like sometimes I'll do, like, the, if it's, like, they're in the 15th inning or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'll do that kind of stuff.
Or if there was an alert where, like, it's, like, the 8th inning and a team has, like, 28 runs.
Because
it'd be cool to, because I watched when the Rangers scored 30 on the Orioles. I watched some of that in, like, 2007 or 8. And I was like, this is crazy to see 30 runs in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But that never happens. So
yeah, I would watch that.
Yeah, that's fun. Anything that's like that, or would you walk a walk off grand slam in the bottom of the ninth, down 3-0?
Unfortunately, I would not watch it because I left the house immediately before that happened.
Yeah. I almost didn't finish because I was playing dodgeball during most of that game,
mm-hmm.
and I was supposed to take a shower, and I was like, no, I'll watch the ninth inning, because when they scored, the Nationals scored 2 runs. If you don't know what we're talking about, the Cubs hit David Bodie for the Cubs hit a walk-off grand slam down 3-0 with 2 outs and 2 strikes.
I feel like it'd be hard to, that's one of those things that would be hard to not know about if you follow baseball enough to watch our listen to our podcast.
That's true, if you're
tuning
in.
Because it was like all over ESPN, it was all over the MLB app, all over Twitter.
It was
like,
on ESPN. How happy was ESPN
oh my
to have
God.
That happen?
Well, so the other thing we were talking about right before the game is Adam Engel, for the White Sox, had his third home run robbing catch of the week. And that was like sort of the lead baseball highlight, like in
it
the early.
The Sunday one was super dope.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. All of them were, but that was the most athletic looking one. But that was the lead highlight, I think, in like Baseball Tonight before Sunday Night Baseball and whatnot. And then after, like, nope, the Cubs upstage the White Sox again.
A grand 3-0.
Walk off grand slam.
From a guy who's his fifth. David Bodie, this is his fifth time with the Cubs this year. He's been called up and down 5 times.
Pretty crazy.
But he's been pretty good, so it's not like it's just like... anyway.
Pretty cool to have his
moment
that he can always remember, however his career turns out, you know?
He said it was his first walk-off home run in his whole life. Like, Little League, high school, whatever.
Good time for it.
What a great moment, and especially if you're a Cubs fan. And you know what it did? It had a real effect on the National League races.
Yeah. Hey.
So we want to talk about...
You didn't wink at me, but I could tell you you were making a wink face without the wink.
Yeah, I'm not a great
sense.
Winker.
So yeah, let's talk about these races. By the way, I did I started segueing into it earlier by talking about the Red Sox and Indians, and then we got back on
it. We got back out of it.
It's okay.
Sorry if I stepped on your segue.
No. It was a good talk, and it's fine, but I wanted to let you know that I also had the unorganic segue.
We're just going to be the segue.
Like,
podcast.
Look, this
we
is like episode 57. We've gotten very, very good at podcasting.
Yeah, we're expert podcasters.
We're 80 grade podcasters.
We're so good we could do it sitting here naked in a sauna.
Yeah. this equipment is holding up very well, by the way, for this 110 degree room. Yeah, but you would think the heat.
It would melt it.
Yeah. No, just short it out or something.
Okay, so
we're gonna rank the playoff races from least to most interesting
to us personally.
To us personally, individually, we're doing them separately. So we're going to contrast and compare. And it is interesting. As I was making the list, you know, there's a lot of good races. A,
mm-hmm.
but B, it's surprising how many good races there are, considering. Prior to the season, it seemed like there was a clear delineation between the great teams and the mediocre teams.
Yeah.
And even, you know, last month, there was a clear delineation in many of
these
races.
There are a couple races that have tightened.
That have tightened significantly. And one race that has expanded significantly.
I feel like, to me, there are only 2 uninteresting races of the 8.
Yes.
The 8 being the 6 divisions and the 2 wild cards.
Yes. So start number eight.
Number eight is the AL Central.
Agreed.
That has to be universally the least interesting race.
Yeah.
I don't. I honestly, I'm guessing it's got to be the Twins. But I did. But
Twins are in second.
I only know that because I know how bad the Tiger. We just looked it up. How bad the Tigers.
Twins are in second, but they're 12 games behind, and they're well below 500. Did you see, by the way, that Irvin Santana was like complaining about the Twins front office, like giving up and selling off their players? And I was like, he was like, "We in the locker room still believe we're in it." And he's like, "Do you really, dude?"
A wild card loser might win 94 games.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're not. Yeah. Yeah, they're not in it.
Second least interesting then would be AL East, where the Red Sox now have a 9.5 game lead.
And I think even if the Red Sox pulled a 2017 Dodgers and the Yankees got kind of hot, which was losing 16 of 17, if you remember.
Yeah, I was like, if they went like 50-6.
The other one, when they got bad before they were good in the playoffs.
Right.
I think even if the race tightened between the Yankees and Red Sox, it's still not that interesting because the loser will win.
They're both going to make the playoffs.
It's going to be interesting in the sense of like no one wants to play that one wild card game. And I do think the A's, or I guess now the Astros, are a legit. I would be scared of those in a one game.
Yeah.
One game.
I'd be much more scared of the Astros, obviously.
Yeah, way more scared. But I think.
And I'd be more scared of the Mariners than the A's in a one game playoff.
I would be more scared of the A's.
I don't. The Mariners can throw James Paxton.
That's true. The Mariners have James
Paxton. It would depend who's starting.
Speaking of Mariners, man, Felix to the bullpen.
So sad.
I mean, it's got to happen.
A couple months ago, when Eric Acosta guest hosted this show and you were out of town, we talked about, you know, what a bummer it would be if the Mariners made the playoffs and Felix Hernandez like didn't get a start.
That
is not going to happen.
Well,
playoff race number six.
So this is the next least interesting.
Yes.
Third, whatever. Sixth most interesting. I think it's the AL wildcard race.
Interesting. I chose the NL Central.
Okay. Well, that's a personal.
Yeah.
I think that if I were not a fan of a team in the NL Central, I would agree with you.
You know, it's not even that the NL Central is disinteresting, as I imagine you feel about the AL wildcard. I do want to hear what you think about it. But to me, the NL Central, I think the Cubs are not interesting to me at this point as a dispassionate observer, just because they've been to the playoffs 3 years in a row and they are very good. And I think, you know, even though they're only a few games up on the Brewers, they're like the heavy favorite.
Right.
So I just think like of all the other races, to me, that is the most foregone conclusion that the Cubs are going to win.
I see. I'm not as confident. I had the NL Central ranked as... What should I say?
What? No. Save your... Talk about the AL wild card.
AL wild card. Well, first of all, because the first position's locked up was part of my reasoning. So
yeah,
it's true. It's essentially the same race as the AL West.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not as interesting to me, because that's a more interesting race.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't care about the wild card as much. I'm not looking at the wild card standings. I'm looking at the AL West standings, because that's how it's shaked out. Now, if somehow the Rays, I guess, would be the best candidate, crawl their way back into it, but there's no way. The Rays are really the only team that has a chance at getting into that race, but they won't, or maybe the Angels.
Yeah, I think both the Rays and Angels are around 500, but it would be a pretty big long shot. It would be basically both the Mariners and the A's like really falling back to earth.
So basically, that race is not interesting to me because other races are more part of it.
Okay,
because the more interesting part of the Yankees Red Sox is who wins the division, and then the more interesting one of the other ones is the same division.
Yeah, I buy your argument. Yeah. I will rebut it.
Yeah,
when we get to. Okay. Where I have it ranked,
it's the fifth most interesting. Yes. So this is the top of the bottom half.
Yeah,
I have the NL East.
I also have the
NL
East.
Yeah,
and it's again not interesting. I do think it is cool that the Braves and Phillies are so close together.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it's just I don't generally find the NL East interesting or something. Like, I don't know what it is about it that is like about that race that is not capturing me. I guess part of it is it feels to me like whoever wins that division is going to lose in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's part of it to me. And I think how I think I feel about the Nationals, how you feel about the Cubs. Like, they're just not interesting unless Max Scherzer is pitching at all to me. And I kind of don't think they're going to crawl back in it. Like, I'm kind of giving up on the Nationals.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like, I don't care who wins between the Phillies and Braves. I'd like the Braves to win only because I have more friends that are Braves fans.
Yeah, for sure.
But like,
same.
It's at the end of the day, it's not going to affect me either way. And yeah, like, they'll play the winner of the NL West probably.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, unless somehow they overtake the NL Central winner for best record.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose that series, unless the Rockies. I guess like a Rockies-Braves first-round series is super interesting to me, but that's such a long shot.
Yeah. But like, I don't see either of those teams, the Braves or the Phillies, certainly as like serious World Series contenders.
No, not
like,
this year.
Like, I, with the exception of like maybe, with the exception of the Mariners or the A's, I think any of the other AL playoff contenders would be like clear World Series favorites over either of those teams. So it doesn't seem impactful in terms of like championship, you know.
And I'm happy for both those teams, and I think it will be fun in a way of like both these teams are desperate to get back to the playoffs.
It'll be really fun like next year.
Yeah, I think this seems like a
when they mature
fun preview. Yeah. And I think if the Nationals in 2 weeks if the Nationals get hot and both those teams say then it might be a more interesting
if they
race
it up.
Because now it's a David and Goliath situation with two Davids.
Yeah, and it's a three-team race.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if this, like, the walk-off Grand Slam, you know, that is very dispiriting. And it'll be interesting to see if it's an inflection point for the Nationals one way or the other. Like, can they take that and turn it around and be like, fuck this, we're the Nationals, like, we should be way better than this, like, and they go on a run? Or if it's just like, this is a year where nothing is going right. We just can't keep it together.
It was a Scherzer start, too.
Yeah, eight shutout innings.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, they are missing their two best relievers.
Right.
Yeah,
it was Ryan Madsen in there, and he hit two guys.
Yeah. Okay, so.
So now the fourth most interesting race.
Well, mine is the AL wild card.
Ooh, okay.
And this is
which I already had.
Yeah,
okay.
This is where I rebut sentiment, which is, I think, like, yes, the Yankees probably have it locked up, although it's only they're four games up and they have had struggles. You know, their rotation is really shaky.
They have injuries.
So it's not like a lock. But I think even without that, both of the Mariners and the A's are like interesting to me as dark horse teams in a way that the Braves and the Phillies are not, in it where I don't think neither of those teams had the hype of a farm system. Certainly in the Mariners case, they have a terrible farm system.
Right.
But even the A's, like in their rebuilding, there was no like, oh, they might be dark horses this year.
No,
they're
like a 500 team at best.
Yeah.
Going
into
the season.
And
yeah.
So plus, you know, the Mariners not having made the playoffs in so long, the A's constantly being overlooked in that way. I think they both, narratively, those are both more interesting teams to me and teams that I'm rooting for to make the playoffs that I am invested in that second wild card race.
I agree with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this, I think just because I have the same investment in a different race.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think those are good points. And I don't know what it is exactly. It might just be like league bias. Like, I don't know what
it
is.
It
like,
could be.
Or division bias more than anything. Because I think I feel the same way about you as I have just like never really been invested in the NL East.
Yeah.
Since the Expos were there.
Yeah.
So, and I like, and the Mariners are a fun story with like, they're the longest team in sports without making the playoffs. And the A's are like constantly the A's. Yeah. Like the way that they win is always the A's. I get it.
So what? Who did you have?
Well, here's where
four.
I put the AL West.
Oh.
So the okay. AL West is West is my fourth. This is only because this might be wishful thinking, but I mean, we just watched the Mariners sweep the Astros in Houston. The Astros are banged up, but if they...
You mean you and I just watched it together?
All together. We watched every inning of every game.
We did 96 hours we spent together.
But so this late in the season, that tells me that like I can't count. I don't think the Astros have the West
yeah,
locked
no, no,
up.
Yeah, no. I'm with you. Yeah. I haven't
yeah, that's
said
true.
The
you haven't
AL
said it.
West
and
yet.
So I think if it were 2 weeks ago, I would have flipped the wild card for the same reason yeah. because like I would have thought, well, the A's and Mariners don't have a chance in this division. But I think yeah. they do. I think we have a three-team race.
Yeah.
And if the Astros can't stay healthy, I mean, I think the Mariners and A's have confidence. And they're playing like – I think the Braves and Phillies are playing like this too, but – it's like they're playing with house money, and I know that's like a lame thing to say, but I think it's sometimes that works.
Yeah.
If you're playing loose and you don't give a shit,
yeah,
you're going to take risks. It's going to be fun. Like, so it's really interesting to me. I just think like, it's just fun to me to think that the Astros could miss the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I will expand on that
yeah,
when
we
get to, the AOS on my list.
So what's your, then, so should you go to number three?
Yeah, number three for me is the NL wild card.
Okay. Number three for me is the NL Central.
Okay. But and you think that is weighted by your investment in the Cubs?
Yes, I think so. Because this, I know this also, I get, you can say this is lame. This season feels more like 2016 than 2017 felt bad.
Yeah.
I feel like 2017 feels like this Nationals season feels mm-hmm. the Nationals now only like a little better because
yeah.
a little closer.
Or maybe the Astros.
Or maybe the Astros, season. Yeah. Just like they're struggling, they can't do it. This team feels fun. But the difference is that I think the Brewers are good enough to win the division. I think it's a legit race. And I have been saying it the whole season. I have never discounted the Cardinals, and here they come. And if you have a three-team race between the Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers, the Brewers and Cubs have bad blood. The Cardinals and Cubs are one of the biggest rivalries in the history of baseball. Like, that's a crazy race.
Yeah.
And maybe it's more crazy for me because I'm invested in the division. And Pirates are more wild card. I don't think the Pirates can win that division. So, but I think that's, we have a potential three-team race between three pretty decent rivals, at least between fandom and like Reddit forums and threads. And it seems like it could be really exciting in a month from now. If all three teams are within 2.5-3 games, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying, where it feels like the Cubs are the best team and they have the best chance of running away with it.
Yeah. And yeah. that, you know, again, this is all personal
right,
opinion.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I ranked the NL wildcard only third, because I do like that is the most wide open potentially
right.
in terms of like the number of teams who could win it. You know, like
right.
you have essentially like, I guess if you're discounting division leaders, you have like six teams that are in pretty decent shape for it.
Yeah.
If you're including like two from, or no, well more
two,
than that, I guess,
well,
seven teams. If you say like Nationals and Braves/Phillies, that's two, then, you know, Brewers, Cardinals, Pirates, and then right now it would be Dodgers and Rockies.
And then I think the Giants are still hanging around.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't believe in them. But
I don't think they're going to like...
I think they're in the sphere of close enough.
You're right. So that
yeah.
so that's the most wide open
yeah.
one. And so like in that way, it's potentially the most interesting. But for me, I think that there is... I ranked it a little bit lower than my top two just because I do... There is a little bit of that sort of league bias, I think,
mm-hmm.
that... You mentioned earlier, like for me, the American League is like kind of inherently more interesting because I'm
right.
more familiar with those teams. And I think that wild card is a bit less interesting than division, even though it can be more exciting because,
mm-hmm.
again, I don't know how many of those teams that could put out of those like eight or nine teams or whatever could theoretically be championship contenders without like a lot of good fortune.
I think that the Well, I'll talk about it when I, because I haven't said it yet. So I'll talk about it when I get to it.
All right. So what's your number two?
NL West.
Mine is also NL West.
NL West.
Yeah.
So I think it's because it's a, I think it's still technically a four-team race, although the Giants are kind of back there. But I think they're, again, they're in it enough for me to think, and they're the Giants. But I don't think they realistically have a shot, but I think it's a definitely a three-team race. And they're beating up on each other.
Yeah, I do think it's the most unpredictable of the divisions.
So.
You know, like, you would think the Dodgers are the clear best team, but they've had so many injuries and so much roster turnover and just haven't put it together.
But, but even after getting healthy, they haven't widened the gap.
Yeah, well, I don't. They're not all the way healthy.
That's true.
I mean, they just lost Kenley Jansen for
But I guess when I say healthy, it's like because Turner's back, right? Is he?
Maybe.
Sure. They also got healthy by adding Machado and Dozier, you know, and Kershaw's
And Kershaw's
been
back.
Yeah.
But they're still missing a couple of pitchers, although I guess those guys are coming back this week, too.
They should just change their name to missing a couple of pitchers.
Well, that's I guess, why they have, like, nine starting pitchers on their
depth chart. Losing Jensen is, like, a big deal. But I think the Diamondbacks had that really bad stretch, but they've climb back in, and I have just no idea how the Rockies are still in it.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Arenado, and we talked about Story and Blackman. Like, they have good players, but their pitching isn't that good.
Yeah. Well, they have, what's the Freeman? Or Freeland?
Yeah. Freeland. Yeah.
This shows how
how much
I know. But he's having a great year. Yeah. At least he was. And then John Gray was having that, like, really weird season where
he
had these
down.
Awesome, like, peripheral stats, but then he was sent down because he was like not getting anybody out. Damn, Kyle Freeland by Baseball Reference has 6 wins.
Dude.
Like, he maybe should be a Cy Young contender.
Not
just
with
by
DeGrom and Scherzer pitching.
By virtue of pitching in
Coors.
I'm looking up Scherzer right now to see. Scherzer has 7 wins, so he, well, anyway, down ballot, I guess. But, I don't really know much. I haven't been paying particularly close attention to the Rockies either, so it is a bit mystifying. Maybe we'll have to go, like, a little bit.
Do a Rocky deep dive?
A deep dive and
climb
talk about
those
them.
Rockies?
not a dive, yeah, climb.
Climb those Rockies. To me, though, part of the reason this is number two is because, the Dodgers getting taken down is a fun story. The Giants coming back, as much as I would hate that, would be a huge story. And I think the Rockies and Diamondbacks making the playoffs is fun because those are fun teams. And I like, this is personal, the Rockies in the playoffs is always fun to me.
Rocktober.
And if the Rockies could win the first wild card, then a wild card game in Coors
that would be very fun,
very cool. But that's not even that's we're talking about the West. We're not talking about the wild card.
Let's get a 4-way tie in the NL West.
Wouldn't that be fun? That's the other reason to like the NL West. Anytime I can get a potential 3 or 4 win tie,
yeah, that would be like what? Like that'd be a play-in tournament essentially. If it was a 4-way tie, you'd have to do if none of them were good enough for the wild card. What you'd have to do.
So the Brewers and Phillies win the wild card.
Yeah, or Brewers and Cardinals or something.
Yeah.
And then, like, with, like, 92 wins, and then 4 NL West teams
have
tie with, like, 90 wins or something. And you have to do.
Would it be a tournament? Or would it be a round robin?
I think that's a good question. I don't know.
That would be crazy.
That'd be crazy.
The Dodgers had to play all 3 teams.
That would be awesome.
Oh,
that's
man.
What I'm rooting for now.
Yeah, I am definitely rooting for that.
So your number one then is the NL
wild card. And your number one is the AL West?
AL West.
Whoa, okay.
Yes.
So NL wild card is kind of the reason I just talked about it. I gave a little bit away because like any of those teams is fun. And I think that so because even if the let's just say the Dodgers pull away and the Cubs pull away, we're still looking at like Brewers. It's like a lot of fun teams that are playoff hungry. Like all of these potential matchups of Brewers, Rockies, Diamondbacks, Brewers, Cardinals, Phillies are if all the, like the, super fun one game wild card.
I'll also tell you what would make the Nationals interesting, which is them sneaking into the second wild card.
That's true too.
And you see Scherzer or Strasburg in the second or in the wild card.
But then we're also thinking potentially like Scherzer Greinke. Yeah, like that would be super fun.
Yeah.
Like there, I think there are a ton of, or I mean, we could potentially see Scherzer or Kershaw.
That'd be nuts.
For a wild card game.
That'd be nuts. Wow. Yeah.
And that's why I think this is fun is I think because the West is so volatile, like it's constantly different and the Brewers are hanging on for dear life. And the Brewers are in that crazy position of they're fighting for a division and a wild card, which is not super common, I feel like, where like you're, I guess the Braves, Phillies are doing that too.
Yeah.
But and the whole NL West. Like, but it's, so maybe it's pretty common. But I think it's like that weird position of like the Brewers feel pretty good about making the playoffs, probably.
Yeah.
But they might be a wild card.
Yes. Tough for the Brewers. Like, they have the second best record in the NL right now, right?
Oh,
or they did last time I checked.
Yeah.
And to basically to that, that's the second best record with playing in the best division, essentially.
Yeah.
Like if they had, you know, a bunch of games against the Marlins and Mets instead of the Pirates and Reds, like they'd probably have the best record in the NL. I mean, you could say that about the Cubs too, but they already do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
they would have a better best record. Because there's the whole thing about the Cubs' best record is like the fifth best record.
Right, exactly.
And I think that the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Astros are better than the Cubs.
Yeah.
And the Indians are probably pretty similar. But like, yeah, they are playing as...
Well, just tangentizing, it's really tough to tell how good the Indians are, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Just because... talk about weak divisions. Like, all of the teams in the AL Central are very bad.
Yeah.
So... And the Indians have this elite talent, and then who knows after that?
That's true. I think the Cubs are probably deeper.
Certainly in the lineup, the Cubs are deeper. The Indians rotation is very good, which is also why it's mystifying that the entire team is not better.
Yeah.
Because of the rotation, and then Lindor and Ramirez are so good. But anyway, that's a tangent.
That's a tangent. But I think basically it comes down to that there's so many teams and so many. There's so much what we just talked about. There's
craziness.
A potential for like a
craziness.
Even if it's not all the West, there's a potential that four teams finish this for the second wild card the same record.
Yeah, craziness. You're right, and it's a strong argument. I picked the AL West because I just think the Astros not making the playoffs would be like the craziest thing that happened this year. Like.
Yeah.
Not just them being defending champions, but, you know, the first 2 months of the year, they looked like the Red Sox look now. Like, they looked like this unstoppable machine, baseball-playing machine, that, like, not just this year, but for, like, the next, like, 3 years would be... They looked like the baseball equivalent of the Golden State Warriors. You know what I mean? They didn't have any weaknesses, and they added Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole was pitching, like... the best pitcher in the league. So the fact that now, you know, they're still certainly very, very likely to make the playoffs, like still the favorite in that division.
Yeah.
But just that it's possible. In addition to like what I was saying about how I personally find the Mariners and Athletics very compelling, not to mention the Angels I find very compelling, even though they don't have necessarily a shot at the division, but I just think like that would be such a like crazy Titanic upset if like the Mariners and the A's both pass the Astros.
God,
like
be so
I'm
crazy.
Like kind of rooting for it because it would
I
also throw into it would sort of throw the playoffs as you like anticipate them going into chaos, you know.
And the Astros are gonna be good next year.
Yeah.
Or I mean it's the same team.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe Verlander's finally going to be bad, but. Yeah, I get it. That makes sense. I was just thinking, like, if the Brewers catch the Cubs, we could definitely be in a world where the Dodgers, Astros, and Cubs... The Cubs probably won't miss the playoff because they won the wild card. But, like, the Nationals all won't win their division.
Yeah.
And then the Yankees... Like, if the Yankees lose the wild card game, and the Cubs lose a wild card game because they could.
This like, is like those, like this is like crazy. Baseball's but, nightmare, by yeah. the way, that you're describing
oh,
is like
for sure.
the teams in the playoffs are like the Rockies, Brewers, yeah. Braves.
That's what
and
Manfred calls the Red Sox and say you better, win this. You don't. Oh man, yeah, they can't hang their head on any of those teams.
Yeah.
No, they can't.
Like
it is, their nightmare. They'd have to. It'd have to be like Indian. They'd have to play up Indians.
They'd be rooting
what Red Sox.
Yeah, what they'd be rooting for is like Red Sox Phillies or something. If the Phillies snuck in,
yeah. Is there anything to the Mariners having never won the World Series or made it to the World Series?
No, that'd be a terrible world. Well, I mean, for me, yes. For ratings, like if we're talking about things that the general public is interested in seeing, I do not think that the Mariners in the World Series is very high on the list.
What's the dream situation this year for the MLB?
Red Sox Cubs.
Better, more than Red Sox Dodgers?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I guess Dodgers,
I think
a
Yankees,
longer drought.
Yankees
Dodgers
also has
you're right.
a lot of
yeah,
cachet.
You're right. Yankees Dodgers would probably be better.
Yeah, but I think those are the four teams
yeah.
that are... the MLB is looking at and smacking them. I think the Indians are pretty close just because they've been there recently. They have some stars. They have the drought. Like, there's enough there, you know, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, all the other teams. Like a Rockies-Mariners. Can you imagine a Rockies-Mariners World Series?
I'd fucking love it. I'd be way into
it. Oh, I would love it so much. But those they're already talking about how baseball's plummeting. You
yeah.
have to,
oh, my God. Yeah, no. What... I mean, Arenado and, like... Cruz would be the faces of that series.
Segura,
I guess. Yeah, Cano wouldn't be playing.
Yeah, it's like Paxton or Segura, Mitch Haniger.
Yeah,
Ichiro would probably
would come back.
I don't know if he'd come back, but he would be prominent.
Yeah,
you better believe it. They would probably get MLB would probably start getting on the horn and getting Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
and Randy Johnson to
sure.
start showing up at
yeah.
games is what would happen.
Yeah. well, we're running a little bit long, so let's go to break real quick. And when we come back, we'll run through our favorite and least favorite Tigers ever.
Detroit Tigers.
Welcome back. We are here still in the sauna baking.
Is
I don't
it
think
healthy?
It's healthy. No, I don't think it's healthy to be in a sauna for like over an hour.
No. Well, let's push it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm hallucinating. It's been a trip.
It's been a trip, man.
It's been a trip, dude. We started talking Tigers and Al Kaline appeared right in front of me. he's giving me batting tips. Said,
did he have 3,000? Oh man, no.
500 homers, I think.
No, he definitely didn't have 500 homers.
No. Oh, I'm thinking.
You know
Hank
what?
Greenberg. Maybe?
No, he also didn't because he didn't play long enough. I'll tell you right now that Al Kaline had exactly 399 home runs.
Damn. I'm pulling it up. How do you know that? Just because you're
just
absolutely
one,
right. He did have 3,000 hits.
Okay, there he goes. He's a 3,000 hit boy. Hank Greenberg. If I could guess how many home runs Hank Greenberg had, I would say 354. No, did he have 400? No, I'm going to say 354.
I truly don't know. Let's see. I just pulled
it
up.
Look it up.
331.
Oh, that's pretty good though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I've played a lot of Sporkle quizzes at home leaders. Hank Greenberg only played like 10 or 11 seasons.
Yeah, because World War II.
It messed him up brain-wise. Well, speaking of Hank Greenberg, he's my favorite all-timer.
Okay.
Ty Cobb's hard to have a favorite because he is such an asshole.
Yeah.
He's like a favorite. But the Hebrew Hammer.
Historical favorite.
Historical favorite is Hank Greenberg, probably.
Okay.
The Tigers.
I'll take that. So who is your other favorite?
You know what?
Real favorite? Contemporary favorite? I don't know what you're going to describe it as.
I think I've been describing it as favorite that I remember having seen since I've been following baseball.
Right.
Favorite,
okay.
Which is like 91. Mm-hmm. Verlander.
Really?
Yeah. Justin Verlander. I love power pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my favorite. I appreciate a good crafty pitcher. But just a balls out throwing as hard as you can pitcher. I mean, it's not like Verlander doesn't have stuff, but the fact that like the when the narrative, not even a narrative, is true, when it was the thing about tuning into a Verlander start in the eighth or ninth and he threw his fastest pitch.
Yeah.
Like that, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, he does have a crazy arm. Like he has sort of like the fact that he is what, like 35 now or something? Probably. And he's can still crank it up to 99. Like there are not a ton of dudes who can do that.
No, and he's not like a big dude, which I also like that. I like when pitchers Scherzer like looks like he's a power pitch, like right, like
sure, yeah. I mean, I think Verlander looks like it. Like he's like lankier, but
he's a stout dude, I guess.
Yeah,
isn't Verlander like only like 5'10" or something?
Which is my head that short.
Is he a giant in your head, or maybe Kate Upton's just much taller than him, so he's looked shorter than Kate Upton.
You just judging them by the leaked photos of them.
Yeah,
in the mirror.
Yeah, that's the only time I've seen a photo of those two together. I don't know. Maybe
he's
I was
wrong. 6'5".
Verlander 6'5"?
Yes. Yeah.
Whoa.
6'5", 225.
Why did I think he was only 5'10"?
That's I'm crazy. Kind of happy about that since I was so wrong about Hank Greenberg and Al Kaline.
Wow. Yeah, they're getting me on height.
You got something.
I didn't know he
was.
I thought he was short. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm wrong about that. But yeah, I don't know. I always liked it.
He's a great player.
He was like, I've never hated the Tigers, even though that they're in the Royals division, probably because they were originally in the AL East, and then they moved over in '98. When the Rays joined the AL East and they moved to the Central. I've never really seen them as, like, they've obviously were a rival. Maybe it's because the Royals and the Tigers never been good at the same time, really. Because the Tigers were kind of on their downslope and the Royals got good. It was the Indians more, it seemed like. But
they did have it, that one, like, that one year. Was it 2015 that they were, or was it 2016 when they were sort of in it to the end and they had Upton?
Maybe. Well, 2015.
They had like signed Upton and he sort of like propped up the team.
Maybe that was because the Royals won the wild card in 14. I mean, maybe it was that year. Maybe it was the year they won the wild card and the Tigers won. And still, like, but I've never really loved the Tigers or hated the Tigers. The point is, I really liked when they came back in 2006 after having lost 119 games in 2003, and Verlander was like such the savior. Like he would, like, you know what I like. He was seen. They had a bunch of other good players. Like Pudge Rodriguez was also seen as like the savior. But like, I liked that. I liked the fact that he was so good. It was King Felix level disappointment when he was bad for me. Verlander. I just loved watching him pitch, and I'm very glad that he has a ring. I don't know. I just always really liked Verlander for whatever reason.
One of the biggest draft misses ever, the Padres taking Matt Bush over Justin Verlander.
And he would have pitched well in San Diego, huh?
Yeah. Well, and he was, if I'm recalling correctly, he was like sort of the consensus number one pick, but the Padres sort of cheaped out and Matt Bush was a local guy. And he was like a top 10-ish talent, maybe, but they,
Oof. What a whiff.
I'm looking at Baseball Reference right now, that entire draft, and Bush's career wins above replacement now that he's a pitcher. So zero wins above replacement for the Padres. He never played for the Padres. Right. Verlander has 61.5 wins above replacement in his career.
They would have had rookie Verlander and peak Peavy at the same time.
Yeah.
And Verlander had a great rookie year.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Because Peavy was real good for like two or three seasons or whatever.
Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah. But he's my fave. I've always rooted for him. I've always liked him. I'll never not like him. Seems like a funny guy.
I'm with you. He's a good Twitter follow.
Yeah.
I don't love him. I think I've talked about him on another episode of the podcast as like, I don't like that he's a bit of a red ass, that he's sort of seems to especially as he's gotten older, become a bit of an unwritten rules guy.
Oh, that's pretty annoying.
But he is, you know, especially in those sort of MVP, in that few years in which he won the MVP in the middle of it. And I think he only won one Cy Young, but he should have won a couple. One of the most dominant pitchers in the most dominant pitcher in baseball, but one of the most dominant stretches in recent history. Certainly.
Yeah, that was a great one. Yeah.
My favorite, there's a couple guys that I considered that I always like shouting out my runners up. So my third place finisher is Bobby Higginson, who I always really liked. I think because I've talked before about how I was obsessed with Ken Griffey Jr. baseball.
Right.
And I think I would trade for Bobby Higginson a lot. Which I liked.
That's very funny. That's a very funny reason. I had a video game reason last week for Matt Williams.
Miggy, one of the
sure.
best.
I was wondering if he was.
I was gonna pick him.
I was thinking about him
just
too.
For similar Verlander reasons, I guess. Yeah. Just like an unimpeachable talent. Like, how can you hate a guy who's that good?
I don't at all. I've definitely thought about him.
And then, but I ended up choosing Maglio Ordóñez.
I was wondering if you would do that. I considered him too, but it makes sense because he was a...
Yeah, I loved him on the White Sox. Yeah. I was disappointed to see him leave, but the circumstances under which he left were like a little bit weird, in a way that like I didn't mind him signing, I guess, with a division rival. Like Ozzie Guillen sort of threw him under the bus when he was leaving. And he had this like monster knee injury that nobody knew if he was anything close to the same guy anymore. And then he came back and was great and won a batting title and nearly won an MVP award.
Was that 2007 or 6 year? One of those two.
It was 06 when he won the batting title, I believe, because that was the year the Tigers like came out of nowhere.
He was like
to
a triple
great.
Crown.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a triple crown contender.
Oh, no. Let's see. Maybe it was no, it was 07 when he won.
06 was the year that
title.
They came out of nowhere, but 07 was the year where it, for a while it looked like he could win the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Then lost MVP to Dustin Pedroia.
So yeah, I think I was happy to see him succeed. He lost the MVP to Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, in 07.
Yeah.
I was wrong again. Man. This Tigers discussion is killing me. That's a good one. I like Maglio Ordóñez.
I think he is probably one of the most underrated players of his era, I would say.
Was his nickname Magpipes, or did I make that up?
You made that up, but that's great.
Really?
Yeah.
In my head, I always call him Magpipes.
As far as I know, let's see. It doesn't say Magpipes on his baseball reference page. I've never heard that. They did have, when he was on the White Sox, they did a thing which I'm not, his nickname was Mags on the White Sox, which is pretty straightforward, but they would do the crowd would do this thing and they played it over the speakers, I guess, but it was like the like soldiers in Wizard of Oz, like the and then the crowd would go Maglio.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's kind of good. It doesn't match the actual rhythm of the thing, which is yo-ho. So it's like an extra syllable, which I don't... That's like a pet peeve of mine, I guess. But anyway.
You hate syllables.
I fucking hate syllables, bro. And it was... So just closing out, very bittersweet when Maglio Ordóñez left because they won the World Series the next year. And... you know, he and Carlos Lee, who had been two of the best players of the White Sox for like the previous like 6 or 7 years, and Jose Valentin, three of the best White Sox of the like most recent period, all left that year and like were not part of this team, which obviously
and
you wouldn't
kind
change
of
a
Frank
thing.
Thomas wasn't.
Yeah, you're right. He only played like 20 games or something like that. So like,
what a weird thing.
Yeah, very weird. So yeah, this shifting of the eras that was like bittersweet and like, oh, these guys who I love don't get to be a part of it. So I was happy to see him have success in Detroit, despite the fact that those 2006 Tigers I fucking hate because the White Sox were very good that year, but the Tigers came out of nowhere to edge them out.
The plight of the White Sox.
Yeah. So, anyway, least favorites.
Least favorites. I considered Omar Infante just only because of his
He was
Royals.
So bad on the Royals.
Yeah, but that's not fair. To the Tigers, Omar Infante, because he was good. Or he was good for at least one.
Yeah, you're right. But, yeah. like, I don't know. That hasn't stopped me before from...
Yeah, that's true. I had a hard time with least favorite Tiger because I just I don't care about the Tigers so much that I couldn't even think of a Tiger I hated, even though they're in the division.
Yeah.
I just am so indifferent about the Tigers.
Well, they were so bad for, like, those kind of formative baseball fan years. You know, like, you couldn't help but have sympathy for Nate Bonderman and Mike Maroth for just, like...
Jeremy Bonderman.
Or Jeremy Bonderman and Mike Maroth. Sorry, did I say Mike? What did I say?
I don't know. Some M name.
I think I said Mike because I was already ahead to Mike Maroth.
They were bad in like the 90s too, though. Like they had like, and I didn't like, growing up, like they were in a different division as the Royals and they weren't good. It's like, why would I pay attention to the Tigers in like 1996?
Yeah.
So my least favorite, I went through like all the rosters. I was thinking my least favorite is probably Al Albuquerque.
Huh.
And it's mostly just because he was really bad for them for a couple years. Or, like, he wasn't that bad, maybe, but he... I specifically remember Al Albuquerque. Like, it's almost like I am... I wonder if... I would love to hear a Tigers fan perspective. To me, it felt like Al Albuquerque blew a lot of important games at important times. Kind of like what Joaquin Soria was doing there for a while, for the Tigers, too. Was it the Tigers? Didn't he play for the Tigers?
I don't think so. Maybe. Oh, no, you're right.
Do you remember that stretch when they were good but just had terrible
They just couldn't put it together in the bullpen.
And I feel like Al Albuquerque...
The Dave Dombrowski sort of thing was he couldn't put together a bullpen.
I feel like there were so many times I would look and Al Albuquerque gave up the runs or... I don't know. I just remember having such a negative connotation and feeling like if I was a Tigers fan, I would hate Al Albuquerque.
Yeah.
That's the best I can come up with. The only other one was Victor Martinez because he drove me crazy. He did drive me crazy.
Just because he's so good? Like
When they were good in the Royals. You're right. There was overlap because that's when they had J.D. Martinez coming up and Victor Martinez and Miggy.
Yeah.
We're all... But for some reason, Victor Martinez felt like a Royal killer or felt the most annoying to me.
He's a tough out.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't ever strike out.
I'm switching
out.
It to Victor Martinez. Okay. This is an official switch. Because now that I think about it. Whoever's keeping track of this. Also, he's up right now, right? in the game we're watching.
Is he? I can't.
Someone named Martinez
is up.
You're
absolutely right.
Yeah. I think it's Victor Martinez. Now that I think about it, he was like an Achilles. He didn't. J.D. Martinez didn't bother me as much as Victor Martinez did.
You know, he was annoying to me in the same way that Prince Fielder was annoying, which is the Tigers kept signing these old guys, to ridiculous contracts because Mike Ilitch had so much money and just wanted to win so bad. And I was so jealous of that because the White Sox, A, never signed free agents. And when they did sign free agents, like Adam Dunn is Prince Fielder, but Adam Dunn sucked ass and Prince Fielder was great. And then Victor Martinez was great. And then Torrey Hunter was great. And then Justin Upton was great. And they kept getting, I guess with the exception of Martinez, they kept getting out from under the worst of these contracts also.
Well,
they,
Fielder never really delivered.
He was great for the first year that he was, or the first 2 years. And then they traded him to the Rangers for the worst of his contract. And then he got hurt and... you know, retired.
Yeah.
But for at least 1 year, he
did
was...
Did he have one good year? What a dumb thing, though, moving Miggy to third.
Oh,
that's like the Brewers, only way weirder.
Yeah. He made the All-Star team both years, and in his first year, he was very good. Oh. In his second year, he was kind of meh.
I thought he was... I didn't think he was, like, bad every year, but I thought it was like almost like a King Griffey Jr. on the red situation where he just never could put it together.
No, I'm. And King he was great,
had
and
a
then
couple of good seasons with the Reds.
His second year, he was not great, and then he was traded to the Rangers, and he was sort of not great for the rest of his career.
Right, that's a bummer. I really like Prince.
Yeah, Fielder. So kind of, I guess along those lines, I almost chose Torrey Hunter, for kind of that exact reason, and also I've just never been a Torrey Hunter fan, as he was a guy who sort of tortured me when he was on the Twins. And then the White Sox tried to sign him, and he had verbally agreed to a contract. And then the Angels came in and offered him like $10 million more at the last second. So he went to the Angels.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually,
dare he take $10 million?
Actually, I may be misremembering this, and actually the White Sox offer was better. But the Angels came in and offered... I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, he bailed on the White Sox last minute. Because I am thinking like, well, why would I care if he wanted more money? I think it was that the White Sox offer was like maybe slightly better. And he still chose the Angels.
Anaheim.
But anyway.
Disneyland, dude.
He does.
Disneyland.
He seems like a Disney head. Just Kenny Rogers for
my least
favorite.
You know what I thought about him, too.
Tiger.
Yeah.
Just as a player who I... never liked really very much on any team he was on. And then he was on that 06 team that came out of nowhere. He sort of was the leader of their pitching staff.
He was the cheater.
He was the, that's right. Scuffing balls, was it?
Yeah.
Or like pine tar?
That's it, yeah.
So he had a great year that year at 41 on this surprise team. I don't, just for whatever reason, not a likable player to me. Kind of throughout
I
his
get
career.
It.
A sort of overrated pitcher, maybe part of it throughout
maybe.
His career.
I don't know.
And then sort of, this is just my memory. I haven't thought much about him, but unlikable to me in like a Roger Clemens-y kind of way.
Yeah, I don't
also.
Think he was quite as like, I don't think he was quite as like a, I don't know what I'm looking for. As much of a dickhead as Roger Clemens, but I think he was hovering around that category.
Yeah.
Like a Matt Harvey attitude.
Yeah, just, that rubbed me the wrong way as an opposing fan, even beyond, like, damn, this guy shouldn't be this good right now for this team that is, like, shouldn't be this good right now.
Yeah. Had a perfect game in his career.
That's true. For the Rangers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I did consider him when I picked Al Albuquerque before I switched to Victor Martinez. You're off the hook, Al Albuquerque.
Phew.
Yeah.
Victor, we're never going to let you live this down.
Never, Victor.
Never, ever, ever.
That's a good one. Kenny Rogers is a good least favorite Tiger.
Yeah.
What a weird team.
Yeah. The 06 Tigers or
just
franchise
the Tigers
history?
In general.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a pretty rich franchise, especially early on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, like, in the 60s, they were good again.
And in the 80s, they were very good.
Oh, the 84 season.
Yeah,
where they
Trammell and Whitaker.
Started
and
the season 35-5.
Jack Morris, yeah.
Kirk Gibson. Did you say Kirk Gibson?
I did not, but Kirk Gibson as well.
Yeah. That was a pretty good team.
Sure.
Apparently, Kirk Gibson was, like, a huge asshole when he played.
Yeah. Well, he seemed like an asshole as a manager, so that doesn't necessarily surprise me.
Yeah.
But it'll always have that fist pump.
Man, what a great moment.
What a great
like
moment.
That might be my favorite favorite baseball moment.
It's pretty crazy. Wait, your favorite baseball moment? More than...
Well, I guess...
game 7 of the 2016 World Series? Or game 7 of the 2015 World Series?
Game 5.
Game 7 of the... Yeah, I guess you wouldn't like the 2014.
No, that sucked. That was one of my least favorite ones. I did an improv show. I left the moment of the last out to go do an improv show after the Royals lost the World Series.
God.
Yeah.
Were you hilarious?
Well, I must have been.
Sorry, Adam Engel just hit a home run for his second game in a row.
And then he robbed one.
He hasn't robbed one yet today, but he's a terrible hitter, but he hit a double earlier this game. And he hit a triple yesterday, so he has 2 home runs, a double, and a triple in his last 2 games. Getting some offense to go with that glove.
All right, we've devolved into talking about Adam Engel's last 2 games.
Yeah, we should wrap it up. Good talk.
No, so it's the best non-Cubs Royals moment. I'll say that.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, because you're right. I forgot. I feel like I clocked it away like 6 years ago as my favorite moment.
Yeah.
And then just like have forgotten that. I mean, they're like
forgot that good things happened to you. Since
my
then.
Teams. I mean, the Royals themselves, like the wild card game or the Astros comeback.
Yeah,
when they beat, there are a bunch of just Royals moments that have been great. Mm-hmm. All right, next week, Should we do a podcast?
Yeah, I think let's do a podcast next week. Come back, listen to that one. Big thanks once again to Boardwalk Audio and to OffTheBenchBaseball.com. Thank you to Moonbounce for the transition music, to our producer, Joe Weber, to you, Wayland, to all my friends and family out there in radio land, podcast land, to all the people that I don't know out there, whether you're listening to this or not. I hope you're having a nice day. Is there anybody else that I'm forgetting to thank?
You just literally thanked everybody.
Everybody in the world.
On the planet. Which is kind of
I guess the astronauts out there in space also just chilling up there.
There's so many people being like, there are 3 minutes left in this podcast. It's going to be great.
It's not going to be great. They should know that by now. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, follow us at DuckStarPod on Twitter. That's all I got to say. So long.
Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.